fine if you were placed within. It did not work well or at all if you were placed without. And so was perpetuated a force of good and evil that provided a convenient rationale for the insiders and no rationale, no reasonable expectation for those outside. The premise was that natural resources were infinite, that consequential byproducts and impacts on humans and their communities were incidental to progress, a greater good, a continuous celebration of life through consumption, a system that was indifferent to the evident exhaustion of those resources, the acidification and poisoning of the atmosphere and waterways, the collapse of communal norms, and the divisive rise of class differentiation, racism, inequity, and injustice. These were the externalities, and they were deliberately not included in the cost-benefit analyses then and still even now. Every drop of oil or coal burnt had a depletion consequence, mostly ignored in the short term, denied in the long. Only recently has it become obvious that those resources were always finite, and that the value lost by their consumption was further amplified by the cost of consequence: despoiled fields, forgotten communities, insidious disease, conflict justified by replacement need. Only recently has it become obvious that we need a new system of valuation of natural assets that reflects the true cost of goods and services, demands new responsive structures and behaviors, and incorporates those externalities as well as the reparation cost of damage already done. In an article in Nature in 1997 by Robert Costanza of the University of Maryland and colleagues begins a discussion of the definition and preliminary evaluation of ecosystem functions and services, inclusive of habitat, biological and systemic properties and processes, food, water, and regulation and recycling of natural value as benefits that serve human populations now and if sustained for the future. The authors list 17: atmospheric and chemical regulation, climate regulation of temperature, precipitation, and other biologically mediated processes at local and global levels, disturbance as a result of environmental fluctuations, water and hydrological flows, retention of water, storage of water, retention of soil, soil formation, storage and internal cycling of nutrients, recovery of nutrients, pollination, predator control, habitat and refuge protection, food production, raw material extraction, genetic resources, recreational activity, and cultural uses. The value to be calculated must also contain the cost of reparation or replication, and the understanding that these resources must be sustained as infinite for the penultimate benefit of future human populations. Through various calculations, the paper estimated that ecosystem services provide at least $33 trillion worth annually, 63% of which is contributed by ocean and coastal systems. This is national value. The global calculation was not made. This is real money, but it is not included at present in our costs, balance sheets, share prices, wages, and other forms of measurement of economic condition and well-being. Consider inflation and decreased supply of resources in the intervening 26 years, and try to imagine what that value might be today, and if included, how it would challenge our underlying values, skew our financial reports and estimates, devalue the continuity of our former ways, upset markets, and command our immediate attention for transformational change in the name of rescue. R for renewal, E for environment, S for society, U for understanding, and E for engagement. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
Hi, this is Dwight Yoakam, and you're listening to KBOO.
Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. If we are to create a new financial context and process for rescue from our indifference to the asset value of nature, and if we are to transcend the inertia of bankrupt processes and procedures, and if we are to create a new ethos for the investment of natural capital as a strategy for the future, then we must apply our energy and imagination to innovation, to the development of a new financial instrument that will enable the transformation expeditiously, responsibly, and ethically, indeed in the moment. We must invent a new context and a new process and a new resolve to enable transition and success. We have discussed on past editions of World Ocean Radio the concept of ecosystem service accounting as a new tool by which to monetize the collective application of a new financial approach. And indeed, there is some hopeful progress to report. In 2021, the United Nations, in cooperation with the Basque Center for Climate Change, proposed a new international standard for natural capital accounting, intended to track the extent, condition, and services provided by nature's ecosystem, such as forests and wetlands, in the form of physical and monetary accounts and indicators. That such an initiative exists is encouraging. That some 34 nations are purported to be implementing such accounts is more so, as progress beyond tentative or theoretical application. But as always, it may fall to private enterprise to apply and catalyze a principle to scale. For example, in 2023, Ecuador, in cooperation with the Pew Bartarelli Ocean Legacy Project, in partnership with the Oceans Finance Company and Aqua Blue Investments, enabled a massive debt for nature swap, $1.6 billion in existing commercial debt converted into a $656 million loan financed by a Galapagos marine bond issued by Credit Suisse, with risk insurance and loan guarantees provided by the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation and the Inter-American Bank, to include a $17 million annual government contribution for conservation activity and endowment investment designed to underwrite future support for the protection of the Galapagos Marine Reserve, over 50,000 square miles of the most vital marine biodiversity on Earth. The project saves Ecuador more than $1 billion in borrowing costs resulting from a combination of forgiven debt, write-offs, and reduced interest. The Debt for Nature concept for environmental conservation has been in play since 1987, over 50 projects in 60 countries, but this project represents impact far beyond that is monumental, inspirational, and exemplary for application elsewhere. Such financial instruments demand comparable invention. Other ideas have been promoted to comparable end, such as the creation of a new natural capital bank, specifically to direct funds toward long-term sustainability and value creation using natural capital accounting for alternative private and public investment and outcome. Other suggestions include new green incentives and taxes that reward alternatives and penalize externalities, or new sustainability guidelines and programs for the World Bank, the Global Environment Facility, sovereign and pension funds, and other investment providers. But the regressive forces of politics, inertia, challenge to institutional convention, and past standards for analyses of estimated returns continue to impede such change, sadly, to stasis or regression. We don't want for ideas, but we do want for courage and commitment from among them to choose. Here is the quandary. We're on a boat, on the ocean, in the night, when a crew member falls overboard and choice is starkly presented. 1. To jump into the cold water after and save. Or 2. To toss the life preserver and search. Or 3. To do nothing, as the conditions would seem to offer no chance for survival. What to do, what decision to take, how to choose. We confront an existential calculation of risk. We must apply the courage of a transformative ethos. We must choose a demonstration of the spirit of our time. Choice is our opportunity for rescue. R for renewal. E for environment, S for society, C for collaboration, U for understanding, and E for engagement. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is distributed by the Public Radio Exchange and the Pacifica Network for use by college and community radio stations worldwide. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts and at worldoceanobservatory.org.
This is Cesar Chavez. You're listening to KBOO, listener-sponsored radio.
Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. We have never known more about the ocean than we do today. The Nippon Foundation and others are dedicated to mapping 100% of the ocean floor. Various major foundations have tripled down on support of marine science, particularly in marine protected areas worldwide. But despite all, progress has proven slow, not just for lack of resources, but for the various standing organizations doing the research and allocating or receiving the funds. The UN sits at the apex of the international structure. The two primary subsets in the United States are, first, the national government organizations, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the National Science Foundation, and second, the universities, institutes, and certain large non-governmental organizations with special interest and capacity. Available funds are specifically targeted, often multi-year, competitive, peer-reviewed, and published in academic journals, occasionally amplified by conference, the press, and social media. My inbox receives a constant stream of such reports and results and invitations where this work is shared almost exclusively with other scientists and policymakers in a delimited digital echo chamber of incremental progress with occasionally a dramatic discovery. I call this collective endeavor the Ocean Apparat. The apparat has its own sense of time, its own esoteric language, its own competitiveness, its own meetings, its own rituals, its own acolytes, its own hierarchy and exclusivity that is not particularly interested or motivated to share the records and revelations beyond itself, a press release, a newsletter announcement, or to reward an occasional rebel who attempts to reach outside the chamber to the public, to you and me, who are the underlying financiers and overlying beneficiaries of the entire endeavor. The apparat has its own complex architecture, divided into silos and substructures by scientific interest, discipline, geography, and patronage. Regardless of intent, it is a tightly enclosed circle. How might it change? Here are some ideas. First, all grants must be cross-cutting. That is, built into the proposal team and budget, they must include interdisciplinary connection, multiple points of view, evinced by the interests and the institutional identity of the investigators and the intended outcomes. The research is focused, but the team must be additionally inclusive of scientific disciplines, diverse identity and location, as indicative of a process that conjoins pure science with social perspectives and insists on a communication strategy that reaches other experts and policymakers, educators, and curious individuals through broad, accessible public distribution. What if funding proposals included such individuals qualified in such expertise that would add interpretations to the research results, suggestions for additional inquiry, or applications for use? What if every grant required a secondary school educator to be part of the team and some form of curricular outcome to be part of the final evaluation? What if every grant required a journalist or an artist to track the research experience in narrative and visualization that would enable the investigators to explain their methods, their challenges and frustration, their explanations and speculations as means to extend and enrich their experience? In his famous 1959 Reed lecture, the English novelist C.P. Snow lamented the modern separation of, quote, the two cultures, science from the arts, the two fundamental poles of human intellectual activity. In the apparat described, that separation persists. In a system as interconnected as the ocean, what if we advanced a similarly integrated response to research questions posed and to the larger, related challenges we face through the reconciliation of this false dichotomy, through a humanizing process that opens the apparat to successful connection and communication within and with us all? Another positive step toward rescue. R for renewal, E for environment, S for society, C for collaboration, U for understanding, and E for engagement. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is distributed by the Public Radio Exchange and the Pacifica Network for use by college and community radio stations worldwide. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts and at worldoceanobservatory.org, where the full catalog of World Ocean Radio episodes is now searchable by theme. Find the Rescue series by clicking on the Solutions banner.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Tune in to KBOO tonight at 8 o'clock for Squirrel Snow, the one show where we broadcast galactic awareness and animal awareness, where sometimes we have fascinating conversations with experts, authors, activists, and the fields of animal awareness and galactic awareness. And a lot of the time we play amazing music that could effectively raise your frequency of consciousness. Yes, that is Squirrel Snow. Tonight at 8 o'clock here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Hey yo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
This program is made possible by KBOO.